And thank you, babe. She was not feeling well enough to sing this morning. All right, something about morning sickness. Those of you that have experienced pregnancy, you know how that goes. But she is, she's still beautiful. Amen. Even though she's tired, but she's still beautiful. So we're going to be talking today about a message series that I've talked about, Beloved. I'm going to give you the idea of what's happening next couple weeks. We're going to talk about this for about another 2 weeks, and then we're going to do a short series on hearing God's voice. So if you'd like to be able to see about hearing God and recognizing when he's speaking to you, we're going to talk about that. And then we're going to do a series that's not for you guys. It's really for the community. We're going to invite a lot of people in here by September 17th. We're going to start a new series called Unfiltered, which is the idea of, you know, everybody, not everybody, but a lot of the people in this room, you're on social media, and everything looks great on social media. Nobody posts a picture of the messy house. They post the clean, perfect house with the cup of coffee sitting there. And so we're going to be starting that on September 17th. But today we're talking about Beloved, or the fact that you are created to be loved by God. And I just would like to open up with a little bit of prayer. God, who am I to talk about your word? Who am I to share your word? Lord, your love is great. It's greater than I could ever express. So I pray you would show up here, you'd teach, you'd lead, you'd speak, you'd reveal. God, because we can't know you unless you draw us. So draw us into your love. Draw us closer to your love. Help us to know that we're loved today. In Jesus' name, amen. There was kind of a question that I had is, you know, how can we experience God's love? It sounds pretty out there. Like, how can you experience God's love? And with that question, you know, a lot of people make money off of this idea. There's a lot of people out there trying to get you to experience God's love, and then they wind up making money off this. And now let me explain. A few years ago, we were sitting around the house watching TV with some young people. We had some young people over for a small group. We did a small group. Young people were laughing and playing. We played board games. And for whatever reason, they wouldn't go home. Okay, so they were just hanging out. It was a Friday night. It was way too late. And I'm giving all the singles in the world to like, hey, all right, people are going to bed, and their young people are just hanging out. And so finally we turn on the TV, and, you know, we turn on the TV, and there comes a commercial on. And on the TV and on the commercial, there was one of these TV preachers, and I'm not talking smack about all TV preachers, but I will talk back up smack about this one specifically, because he was saying, right now, and right now only, you can have $2 a day atonement. If you just call in, you can experience God's love, all that was revealed in Christ's atonement on the cross, for just $2 a day. All of the healing that's in the cross, all of the salvation that's in the cross, all of the forgiveness that's in the cross. If you would call this number or write him a check, for $2 a day, God's love could be yours. So the only thing that you can do when you watch that commercial is call the number, right? So that's what I did. I called the number. I had some questions to ask. So I called the number and I said, I have some questions. I hear you're running a special, a $2 a day atonement. They said, yes, that we are. And so I wanted some questions about the plan. You know, I honestly asked them these questions. I said, is there, you know, how's the forgiveness? Because my coverage, I need a lot of forgiveness in my coverage. Is that pretty weak or pretty strong? Is it everywhere? I asked if there's like a group rate, like if me and somebody's going together, can we get it down maybe $1.75 a piece? And then I asked, you know, does it roll over? Because what if I don't sin today that much, but then tomorrow I really blow it, you know? And eventually they got really mad at me and hung up and didn't even know if they were saved at that point. But $2 a day atonement, experiencing God's love for $2 a day, I just don't think that's how it is. But that doesn't mean that it's easy to experience. So how do you experience the love of God? There's some pictures on there, and if you can get that picture up there, Rachel, of the Waffle House. There's a picture of a menu that I have on here because, to me, I think a lot of times going to church is like this. We show you a menu. Right here, here's a menu. If you've ever been to Waffle House, you probably have seen a menu just like this. It's just all the food. We can look at this food up here. I could talk about the eggs, and the only reason I'm using Waffle House is because it was the clearest picture I could find to show on the screen. But we could talk about waffles. We could talk about juice. We could talk about coffee. We could talk about the eggs that are up there, grits, all that stuff that's there. But none of us are experiencing that right now. In fact, you won't experience any of that until you go there and you eat. What good is it just to look at a menu? A lot of times that's how we treat the scriptures. We read about all the things that God can do. We read about how God's love really is. But you never experience it. It never comes into your life. It never comes into to you. And so it's just like walking around looking at pictures of menus. It's the same thing with working out. You can go home and you can play a P90X DVD right now. And you can watch that DVD for 90 minutes. And you can sit there on the couch and nothing will happen to you until you do some of the workout. You got to experience the workout. Because God knows if all you had to do is play it, we would all be ripped. All right? We'd all be like this, like just jacked. But you don't. Because there's another step. You have to experience the workout. You have to experience God on your own. And so the question is like, how can we experience God's love? And the first thing I want to put out there is God's love, and you have it in your notes. If you didn't get one when you came in, there's some guys that could walk by and they can give you some. So if you don't have one, just raise your hand. They'll get it for you. But God's love was meant to be experienced. Like, it was. God wants you to know that you're loved, and God wants you to feel that you're loved. And God wants you to understand. It doesn't mean that every day is roses and rainbows, but I do think it is, because you are beloved. And that word means one who is in a very special relationship. In Christ, the atonement has brought you back to God. You are reconciled with God. What happened was is that you, and I'm going to make you stand up, my dear. I'm sorry, she's pregnant, but she can stand up. What happened was you and God were together. Humanity was together, and then there was a sin. There was a debt that was owed. In Christ, your debt was erased. You owe nothing more to God because Christ paid that debt. It's zero. You are beloved. But then it gets better because not only is your debt zero, but then he gave you new life. So it's not just bringing you back to zero, but it's adding on this new life in Christ. It's better. You are reconciled. You are special. You're dearly beloved. And you can experience that love. You don't have to wait until heaven. Now, it's going to be a lot better in heaven. It's going to be a lot better. But right now, you can get taste, you can get touches, you can get an experience of that. And so I want you to know that in the book of 1 John, chapter 4, verses 7 through 12, it says, "Dear friends," that's the word beloved, "let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed us how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love, not that we love God, but that God loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins, that clearing of our account. So, dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, and here's the key. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us." So just like you can't experience P90X until you do the pull-ups, which is why most of us don't. You can't experience the Waffle House until you eat the waffle. You can't really experience the love of God until you begin to love someone else. Until God brings you that, if he so loved us, we should love each other. Like, it just flows through you. It washes through you. It's like an instantaneous thing. Is you realize how much God loves you, and then you begin to express that by loving someone else, and they and you both get that full expression of God's love. God lives in us, and his love is brought into full expression in us. See, Jesus, he wants to do this. But he needs to do it in us and through us. The next thing I want to do is God's love is revealed in small groups. Now, when I say small groups, hear me out. Let me define the word, because some of you went and said, all right, he's trying to get us into small groups. And yes, I am, but no, I'm not, because it's more than that. See, small groups are just small groups. There's a different dynamic in a large group than in a small group. Eddie, my friend right here, we've gone out. We've had lunch together a few times. Each time we've gone out and had lunch, it's been a small group. We've sat there, we've eaten, we've talked. I've learned about him and his family. He's learned about me and my family. That did not happen in a large group. But it was a chance for us to love each other and to get to know each other and to express the love of God for each other. So anytime a group is small enough to do that, it's a small group. Jesus, when he died on the cross, he kind of had a little small group with him up there. He had two thieves, one on the left and one on the right. And even in the midst of dying on the cross, he offers forgiveness to a thief. Like, yes, we see the love of God poured out as the spotless Son of God died for our sins in our place, washing our sins away. But then you know what? Wasn't his love also expressed as he looked at that person next to him? And the guy said, hey, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus, he takes time to talk with him. Kind of busy. Had a lot going on. The weight of the world, the sin of the world, redeeming humanity and God and divinity, bringing back the breach. And Jesus still paused and had a little small group right there. Had a moment where he could express the love of God. And he said, don't worry, today you will be with me in paradise. God's love is revealed in small groups. When Jesus went to the cross, before he went there, he invited a few of his friends to pray with him. I can't get any picture greater of the Son of God, but I pictured Jesus, walking on water Jesus, the guy who drove the people out of the temple with whips and said, stop doing this in my house. I picture that Jesus. Like, feed the thousands with a few loaves of bread. Feed the 5,000, Jesus. But yet at his weakest moment, he says, hey, would you guys come and pray with me? Like, you, please, just come and pray with me. And he invites them into a garden, into a time when he's pouring out his heart because he knows his blood is about to spill. And it says that Jesus prayed so hard that he began to sweat drops of blood. Like, that stress, they say that when you get that stressed out, that you can really become so stressed that the capillaries, your blood vessels, start to break and it starts to exit your skin. At that point, he looked to his friends and he said, just please, would you guys come with me? That's a special relationship. How many of us, when we get that much stress, we're just like, I just want to be alone. I don't want to be around anybody. But Jesus knew that it was through a small group, through a close relationship with a few people, that the love of God could be expressed. And I'm not saying he needed them there, but he wanted them there. And I think we should need and we should want a small group like that. I think the church is at its strongest when it's both big and when it's both small. Our church here, we started with kind of a small group of our launch team. Think about this. 2 years ago, about this month, we moved into town. We didn't know anybody. Just a Cuban guy from Miami and a Puerto Rican lady from New York. We moved to South Carolina. It doesn't make any sense. All right, well, we moved here because we felt God called us here. We knew nobody. We met one couple in Irmo, and Beth, right back there, in case you don't know them. We met them online, kind of, / in Augusta, so we became friends with them, and we moved here. But little, by building relationship and by having these small groups where we found people that loved us and we loved them, like, I've got good friends in this church right now. Like, good friends. There's been relationships that we've been developing over the past year and a half that they are real. They are good. And it came from these type of meetings, like the ones Eddie and I had, or the ones others have had, that I've had with other people, where you get to know each other. Like, the power that is released, God moves in that. God started a church out of that. God does great things. It is. You know, when I first got saved, I read the verses about sharing my faith. So my first couple months, I was a ridiculous street preacher. All right, don't judge me, but the guy, I would just go out there, 17 years old, shaved head, baggy pants, you know, just looked insane. But I'd be out there just telling people about Jesus all over Miami. Anywhere, good neighborhood, bad neighborhood, South Beach, down to the Everglades. I didn't care. Gas stations, malls, people's houses, side of the road. I just pull my car over and just start talking to them about Jesus because I read the verse where Jesus said, go and tell all the nations. Preach my word. How are they going to hear unless somebody tells them? But then I got to that verse about discipleship where it says, go and make disciples. And I've looked at it up and I realized that was more than just telling people about Jesus, but it was teaching them the way. So the next thing I did, which is how I met my wife, is I tricked a bunch of teenagers. I didn't know how to cook, but I knew how to make nachos because it was simple. Tortilla chips, cheese, and meat. All right? And so I would make a bunch of nachos and bring a bunch of teenagers to my house for a small group. They didn't know it was for a small group, all right? But I brought them for a small group. I didn't know what a small group was, but looking back, it was a small group because I bring them there. I'd be like, you guys want to go hang out? They're like, all right. We bring them there. They'd see the nachos. They'd be like, all right, this is cool. Then the Bible would open. And they're like, all right, interesting. And I would begin to share the Bible with these kids. And then we just jumped right into prayer. And back then, you know, like we're doing 21 days of prayer. Now, for 21 days of prayer that we're doing here, we are making it simple, but not easy. Simple, anybody can do it. If you've never prayed before, we have a book that goes through about four or five different ways to pray that will be available. If you've never prayed for an hour before and it's just intimidating, you're like, man, an hour, what am I going to do? I mean, I can pray everything I need in 2 minutes. What do I need an hour for? You know what I'm saying? If that's you, that's okay, but we've made it simple. So you could take this book, you could sit there, you could work through it and just figure out how to pray. But it's not easy because you got to wake up in the morning. Just like lifting weights, simple, up and down. Easy, not so much. All right, that's what we're doing for our prayer. But with these kids, I didn't make it simple or easy. All right, so the picture of me, this is early on. I just went there, and I said, all right, let's just pray. And we just start praying, and we'd be spitting and, like, not cussing, but just about whatever the Christian version of a cuss is, where you're so excited about Jesus that you're just like, praise you, Jesus. Jesus, you're so awesome. And we'd be praying with these kids, and God would begin to move on these kids, and they would get saved right in my house. They would, like, be crying. We'd be praying for them. They'd be talking about stuff that was going on. And then, like, I brought this really beautiful girl showed up. Ooh, yeah, praise God. And most of these kids, they didn't have a car, and so I would take them back and forth. And so I brought her and her brothers, and, you know, Puerto Rican families, they moved together. So she had about, like, 1,000 cousins and brothers and sisters, and they all fit in my van, and we dropped them all off last. And we fell in love at a small group. So small groups are good, all right? Praise God for small groups. Some of y'all need to start a small group. Who else met in small group? All right, right over there, praise God. So... but that was it. God moved. God's love got revealed. We saw kids' lives being changed. We saw things getting transformed. Now, you may say that it's overly dramatic to say that God lives in a small group, but God has historically, the church has historically described God as a Trinity, which is three persons in one. God lives in community. And we want to see people fall in love with Jesus in this place. He's not going to fall in love with Jesus just because I stand up here and say this. We want to see people find a church family or find a family. There's some people moving to this area that are all alone or some people that have lived here for years and they don't have a family. We want to see that family here. We want to see people find freedom. There's been so many people that have bondages and just different stuff in their life that they're not living free. It'll happen in a small group. And we want to see people discover their purpose. And I believe all that stuff happens. In fact, I believe one of the next points is Jesus always works in small groups. Jesus always works in small groups. There's a great scripture. It's in the book of Mark, chapter 5, verses 40 through 42. It says, and the crowd laughed at him. Jesus knows what it is to be laughed at. He knows what it is for people not to take him seriously. So he did the best thing. He made them all leave. He said, if you're going to laugh, take a hike. So he made them all leave. Background, why are they laughing at Jesus? You might be wondering. A little girl was dead. And Jesus basically shows up. They go and get him and said, Jesus, can you do something? And so Jesus shows up and he says, don't worry, it's going to be okay. She's not dead but asleep. And so they all laugh at him. So Jesus says, just go, leave. And he shuts them all out and he takes a small group of people into the house. He took the girl's father, the mother, and three of his disciples. And where the little girl was lying, in verse 41, holding her by the hand, he says to her, Talitha koum, which means little girl, get up. And the girl, who was 12 years old, immediately stood up and walked around. Immediately. Jesus works through small groups. He does. I don't know why he did that. Sometimes Jesus did things and you can't understand. But I know that Peter remembered that. And in the book of Acts, he does the same thing. Somebody's dead. And he did the same thing. He said, you guys just leave. And he got a small group together and he prayed for somebody. And she resurrected. There's power in a small group. In fact, when Jesus sent out his disciples, he sends them out two by two. He didn't send them out alone. When Paul went out, they sent Paul and Barnabas out. And then when that didn't work out for very long, he went with Silas and then Timothy and then Titus. Like, it was not lone rangers. Right here, I want to give a shout out to the people that show up every morning to get this church ready. Because this place is not bad, but there's some work that is done. And there's a small group of people that show up every morning, every Sunday morning. Can we give them a hand? Because they come out here, they put some work in this place. And they sacrifice sleep, and they move stuff, and they clean stuff. I'm just going to be honest, when they're using it for a show, it's clean. But when they're not using it, it's not. So you have people coming here just to sweep the floor. You have people coming here to hook up wires. People down there working to make the kids' room as clean and as nice and as awesome as they can make it. And Jesus always works through small groups. And you know the enemy works through small groups too? There are small groups of people that sit around and work on behalf of the enemy. One of the things I did is at one point in my life, I was a little bit braver or dumber. I don't know. You know, maybe both. But I would often stop, and if somebody needed a ride, just give them a ride. Less busy, had more time. I don't know what it was. But there was this group of kids that was just stuck outside of a gas station. They needed a ride home. And so I would you like a ride? They said, yes. It was Miami. It was hot. Yes. They get in the car. I had them trapped. I'm preaching to them about Jesus, telling them about church. I mean, they can't go anywhere. I'm loving it. And I'm sharing my faith with them, and I find out that they are all foster kids. There's like 8 of them that live in the same house. They're all foster kids. And the foster parent was just thrilled that somebody would take them anywhere. And they're like, yes, you want to go to church? So we took them to church 2 or 3 times a week. And so we would go there. And I mean, they were rough. They were foster kids, but God was touching them. They were coming to Christ, and they were finding God's love. And it was just awesome, ridiculous thing that happened just by stopping and talking to somebody at a gas station. Well, one day they got in a fight. Now, when I say fight, I mean fight, because some kids that, you know, grow up a little bit rough, they know how to fight. So I pull the car over, and I just jump in the back of the van, and I'm just, like, throwing kids off of each other. Like, there was not how you break up a fight, but this is how I did it. I'm on the side of the road tossing one kid that way, another kid over there, just trying to, like, referee it, you know. And they're just emotional. They had so much stuff going on in their past. Like, it was not their fault. I don't judge them, but I couldn't let them fight like that. And I wasn't being rough, but they're going to kill each other. All right? So let's get real. So we calm them down. We get there. And I said, what I'm going to do, I'm going to go tell their foster parent about this. I'm going to let them know, hey, so-and-so has not been, you know, they were fighting each other, wanting to kill each other, cussing each other out, whatever they were doing. So I go in there, and I'm mad, and I'm heated, and I open up the door, and I go in there in Miami. I can picture the apartment right now because it was an apartment for whatever reason. They go in there, and there's this little statue in the middle of the table, and the people all dressed up with, like, robes and different things like that, and they're chanting to this statue. They're worshiping a statue. They're having their small group. And I was like, well, there's the problem right there. These kids come home to this environment all the time. Like, maybe you don't grow up in that. Maybe you have no concept. But it happens. It happens. Like, I remember walking in there. They're standing around. They're all dressed up, got, like, things on their head. And whoa, 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 whoa. And I was like, whoa. You know, like, that's what it sounded like. It was crazy. And I was like, You know, so I bind those spirits up, brought them to church every time I could, shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with those kids. Later on, we saw them at another mall after they got restored with their family, still believing in Jesus Christ. But I'm going to tell you something. There are small groups of people committed to doing evil. The church will not be what it's supposed to be until there are small groups of Christians committed to doing what God has called them to do. Jesus works through small groups. The enemy works through small groups. There was a small group of us that work with that group of kids. Jonathan back there, my brother-in-law, all right, he ran a Civic into the ground picking those kids up for church because we just didn't want to stop. And a group of us were committed. And what God wants to do here, it won't be done until we get a handle on what God on how powerful a small group is. The next thing is small groups have a big impact. Small groups have a big impact. See, there was a small group in Antioch made up of prophets and teachers, and they were praying. And God spoke to them in the book of Acts, and they sent out the apostle Paul and Barnabas. I want you to see that. Like Paul, if you don't know who Paul is, almost anything you've probably read in the New Testament outside of the Gospels is probably Paul. Most of the books like Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, that's Paul. Titus, Timothy, that's not named that because they wrote it. It's because Paul wrote it to them. Like two-thirds of the New Testament came from this guy. He went out, and if you are not a Jewish person, if you're a believer in Christ without a Jewish background, you are probably believing in Jesus because of what Paul did. And Paul began his ministry from a small group, from a group of people that were praying together and fasting. And God said, send these people out. God uses them for big, it's like a big thing. God uses these groups of people. That's why we are doing 21 days of prayer. Like we are doing 21 days of prayer, not because Chris wants to get up early in the morning. In fact, Chris does not want to get up early in the morning. Chris hates his alarm clock. Does anybody else have like 5 alarms to get out of bed? It takes me like 5. I need 5 alarms to get out of bed because the first one just makes me angry. The second one lets me know I better get up on the next one. And then the third one, I kind of get out of bed, and the other one just in case I get back in there. But I get out of bed early because I know the power. Like I look in Scripture, and I see people who prayed. Like I see Antioch praying. Like it seemed like there was just a group of people that's what they did. And then I look at the American church, or I look at what we consider acceptable, and I'm like, how does this line up? It's kind of like looking at the menu. Put the menu back up there. And I'm not talking smack about Waffle House, so pretend it's another restaurant. But you put the menu up there, and you see that steak. If it looks like that in the picture, it better look like that on the plate. And we all know sometimes it doesn't. And I feel like that's what's happened in the church. Like we have this beautiful picture of small groups who love each other and who pray, and God moves. But on the plate, it looks so different. And we wonder why people don't want to come. We wonder why people don't want any of it. Because it's not what your menu looks like. It's what your food tastes like. My wife won't make a menu this week. But she will cook some white rice and some red beans. Maybe some chicken or steak or a pork chop. A little bit of onions on it, and that will be good. It doesn't matter what kind of picture she takes, that's going to taste good. And let's make the meal right. Let's make the church right. Let's do what they did in the Bible. One day, just speaking of how small groups can have an impact, so I work in education, and I do my very best to keep my professional life and my God life, because I ain't trying to get fired. I have 2 goals every year that I go to work, not to get sued or fired. All right. If I can not get sued and not get fired, I'm very happy with my job. So I go to work with that mentality. And so I don't want to ever think I favor a kid because they're a Christian, because I don't. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you believe. I don't care how you act. I'm going to love you because I think God has called me to love everybody. So some kids came to me. I didn't start this. But some kids came to me and they said, Mr. Martinez, I was back when I was teaching. They said, I was teaching physics. They said, can we start a small group of Bible study in your classroom before school? I was like, yeah, if you want to do that, I don't care. I'm not going to do anything. You know, this is your thing, teacher. You know, I'll support it, but you do what you're going to do. And so they came there, and they started this group, and it started with, like, 2, and then it got to, like, 8 and 10 and 12. And by the end of the year, like, there were kids in my class, instead of, like, reading novels or, like, doodling or making fun of me on their paper, drawing pictures of me, they were reading their Bible. But it was so cool because they would have this small group in my class, and I didn't get involved. I let them run it. I just sit at my desk and I, you know, do stuff, get ready to teach or whatever, you know, surf the internet, check my email. And while they're doing this small group, all of a sudden there was this kid, Eddie. Now, maybe I shouldn't have said his name, but you don't know him. It's a different state. Who cares? Maybe it wasn't even Eddie, all right? Maybe I'm tricking you. But there was this kid, Rodrigo. And so Rodrigo comes there, and he obviously was rough because, you know what? I'm just going to say, if you are in the 9th grade and over 17 years old, you know, and when you got tattoos in the 9th grade, and when you don't wash your clothes and everybody could tell, and when you just know, like, you know how you look at some kids and you're just like, this kid knows the real world. Like, he knows what's going on. He's seen some stuff. So one morning, Eddie comes in, and they're doing small group, and they go to pray, and Eddie has his hat on. You know, they're not allowed to wear hats in school, but Eddie did all the time, and brings his hat in. They say, we're going to pray, and they get in a circle, and Eddie takes his hat off and, like, fixes his hair and prays for, like, 10 minutes. And I was like, man, look at this. Later on, I was like, Eddie, that was cool, man. I didn't know you were a Christian. I just came for a pencil, Mr. Martinez. I don't know. I know what they're doing. He had no idea what was going on in the room. He just came to me for a pencil. But he saw these kids praying, and all of a sudden he sits there and he starts to pray, because that's what happens. You get under the right atmosphere. Eddie was not a product of a good atmosphere, of a good family, of not a good upbringing. He was raised in a situation, but you put him in a different atmosphere, a different environment, and look how easy it was for him to adjust. That's why I think small groups are important. We have tons of voices calling to us from so many different areas. And we need to have people. That's why we're going to have small groups coming up on the 20th. There's a small group boot camp. We would love, if you want to be involved, if you want to host, or if you want to lead, we'd love for you to take it. There's going to be small group sign up in a couple weeks. We're not doing it today, but I want you to be thinking about this. That's why we do the 21 days of prayer, because there's going to be small groups of people. Believe me, I know it will be small. Hopefully it will be big. But there's going to be groups of people here in the morning praying. I'm making it as simple as possible. But it won't be easy, because very few things are easy that are worthwhile. But I believe that over the next 21 days, as we pray and as we have small groups together in the morning and in the afternoon praying, like, I think this atmosphere is going to change. You might have got a prayer card when you came in. Jason, do you have one in there? You might have got a prayer card when you came in today. Like, write this down, any prayer request you have. We've seen God already begin to answer prayers. And you know what? You do not have to put too much information in this part. We're going to pray over them. No, respect your confidentiality, all right? But we will put them out there, but we delete names and stuff if we need to do that. You know, we don't necessarily want to, you know, embarrass anyone. But we want to know how we can pray, and we have groups of people that do this. That's why we do our Go Deeper classes after church. Today we're going to be doing Go Deeper classes after church. It's small groups of opportunity for us to go over what our church is about, for us to help do some spiritual gift inventories and help people get some two-way conversation. We had a great conversation in our last one with a guy, David. He helps out here. He's not here today. He's on vacation. But we were talking about the need to serve the community. And I was just real, real with David. And David and I, we got real, real with each other. And we looked at each other and we're like, I don't want to just check off boxes. Like, I don't want to just, like, do something to do something. Like, how can we serve our community? And we were like, yeah, that's right. You know, we don't want to just oh, look at us, here's a Snapchat or the Instagram picture, and we're so cool because we did this, but how can we really serve people? And David came up with a great opportunity. We thought about it over the next couple days, and there's a woman not too far from this building who has some severe health issues, who can't leave her house, and needs some work done around her house. Far as I know, she's not a believer. But we're going to get some guys together, and we talked about it at our men's group, and we're going to go over there and just fix some stuff. 5 guys, 10 guys, 2 hours, we can make a big difference. It's something that any guy can do. I mean, it's easy. You know, we're ladies, you can come too. We're equal opportunity. You got a tool belt, you want to come on, let's do it. I'm not saying anybody can't come, but it's an easy, meaningful way to show the love of Christ to a real person. And nobody's going to hear about it but that lady. But that came out of a small group, out of our go deeper, out of a conversation of what's a real way we can help real people, not just something that we can do to, like, tickle our own selves and make ourselves feel good. So I want to put this before you. And so right now we're going to be closing. I've told you about the prayer cards. I told you about the small group boot camp. But maybe some of you guys, you feel alone because you don't really have that group of people. Like I do. I thank God. I thank God for Jonathan, a brother I can call and just be real with and say, this is making me mad. And he'll pray for me. I thank God for Jason. I'm getting to know him real well. We could talk. We can pray. I thank God for my wife. Our marriage is like a small group. I thank God for the people I've met in the small group we did at my house, Ken and his wife. Like, it's been good. But you might feel alone. You might feel like, I don't have that. I think God would reveal his love to you better if you did. Would you just close your eyes for a second? Would you just... Like, I thank God for what I have, but I would love that all of you would have that group of people. It could be an official small group that meets in people's houses, or it could be just 2 or 3 of you that purposely gather together to encourage each other, to lift each other up, to pray for each other. How can I pray for you today? Maybe that's you. Maybe you're feeling like, I don't have that. God, I know I need that. Maybe you feel completely cut off from God's love because there's been sin in your life. There's been things that have wronged, and you don't feel like your account is zero. You feel a great debt, and you need the forgiveness of Christ to wash over you. In fact, that's what I feel right now. Is there anyone here that's you? Like, you don't feel that between God and you is good, and you need, there it is. Is there anybody else that you need to get right with God? You need your debt washed, your debt canceled. Amen. I'm going to say a prayer, and if you raise your hand, I would ask you just to repeat it after me. And if you're in this room, you can say it too. It won't hurt. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. You are the Messiah. You came in the flesh to destroy the works of the enemy. You died on the cross for my sins, and you rose again the 3rd day. I now confess all my sins. I repent. I receive your forgiveness and ask you to cleanse me from all sin. Thank you for redeeming me, for cleansing me, justifying me, and setting me apart in your blood. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the next step is there might be some of you that don't have a group like that. Maybe you feel good with God, but you just feel like you need more people in your life. If that's you, I encourage you to press into church here. I encourage you to come to Go Deeper. I encourage you to come to the small group boot camp. I encourage you, when we do small group signups, that you sign up. Come help on a team. You want to make some good friends? We had a great time this morning. And these people here, they love me and they encourage me, and I hope to do the same for them. So there's plenty of opportunities here. Those are some steps that you can take.